I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Dark. seemed to hide his face. I will rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Lone cornerstone, weak made strong, Christ alone. Cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, unchanging grace, Jesus' name. Still stand with trumpet sound, and I will hear him call my name, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless before the throne, faultless before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
How's up? Literally. Been waiting a while to say that. What a great day it is to be here this morning. My goodness. Seriously, we're going to have to put some chairs out. I mean, if anybody else comes in, I love it. I love that folks love the Lord, that they want to get out and fellowship together. And of course, we love it that you come here. Yeah. We love it that you come here and we can all study the Word of God together. We're going to be looking in Numbers chapter number 27. I'm going to read verse 12 down to verse number 23, kind of jumping in the middle of a story here. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. When thou seest it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, or also it's said Sin as well, in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over this congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep without which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord, at the Lord, sh- the Lord sh- at the word of the Lord shall go out, and the word shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid hands upon him. He gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Fathers, we think about this passage, the event that took place, the transitioning, the passing of the baton. One leader steps down, another leader emerges. And God, in seeing this, we see ourselves in both places. We see ourselves as Moses. We see ourselves as Joshua. And God, help us to understand a little bit more about the calling you have in our life, the urgency with which that calling comes, and help us to understand the expectations, God, the commandments from you as to what we need to do to be usable vessels of yours. Thank you so much, God, for the number of folks that are here this morning. We're so excited to just be here. And we thank you, God, and we praise you for our amazing young people that have stood today and they belted out praise, glory, honor to your holy name. They literally preached the word of God in song. And we thank you for their zeal, their excitement, their boldness, the talent, God, that you've blessed them with. It's not easy to stand before a crowd of 300 plus people and do anything, even if we don't say a word. So, God, I'm thankful, God, that they're willing to get up here and be counted and not be ashamed of you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, God, that you use me for your glory. Preach to me what I need to hear. Preach to us what we all need to hear today, and that you'll be glorified through the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want to make note of, what I'm really wanting to look at today, is I'm wanting to look at Joshua, when Joshua came in, and what some of the expectations that God had, basically commandments. God don't really just expect anything of us, does he? He kind of commands, doesn't he? When God says it, it might as well be documented as a commandment of God. He doesn't have to be forceful or loud like we as parents get. You know, it's like as our children disobey or refuse to just follow a rule or something, we get louder, 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 louder. I heard that a lot when I was a kid. My parents got loud a lot. So God doesn't have to be loud to be true or to be right. He just literally has to speak, and we embrace that as truth. So when we look at this relationship that Moses had with God, we want to look at the relationship that Joshua had with God. Interesting passage of scripture here. We're on the tail end of the 40 years before they actually go into the land of Canaan. So we're catching up an event where back in chapter 20, where he actually, this actually took place. We're going to read that verse in just a minute, where he struck the rock and water came out. Because of the disobedience of God, Moses was not able to enter into the land of Canaan. Now, we would think, well, goodness, isn't that a little bit harsh to say, I've been 40 years doing my best to be obedient to God. Then all of a sudden, I messed up on one thing. I mean, you told me, go speak to the rock, and the rock will pour out water so everybody can have to drink. I mess up on one thing, and that hinders me from entering into the land of Canaan. Guess what? One sin prevents us from being saved, and that's what this is all about. That's what this is a foreshadow of, is salvation. We're understanding that because Moses wasn't able to go into the promised land, what does that speak to us as Christians today? It lets us know that Moses represented the law of God, which is not a bad thing. But we got to understand the law cannot get us into heaven. Because why? Because we can't keep it. You know, you could keep all 600 plus laws, commandments, statutes, decrees of God, but if we breach one of them, then we are guilty of sin and we're not allowed. What does the Word of God say? If we've committed one sin, it's as if we've committed all sins because we're guilty, basically, of sin. So we can think, well, God might have been a little bit harsh on Moses, but it's a lesson for us to understand that we can't get saved by keeping the law because we can't keep it. We've already broken it. And so by Moses not being able to go into the promised land, having access, which we consider that's a type of heaven or a type of eternal state, the law can't get us there. And so Christ is the only one that can get us there. But an interesting thing, talking about Moses, the rock, he hit it the first time. He was supposed to speak to it the second time, but he hit it anyway. A lot of things are going on here. And so what I wanted to talk about is forgiveness and consequences. I think it's good for all of us to revisit this concept, because sometimes we lose sight of the truth and the reality of it. Verse 14, he said, "For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes." That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. So he's saying, you disobeyed me at the rock in all that situation that went on. Verse number 11 and 12 in Numbers chapter 20 that I referred to earlier of the actual event. Here's what happened. Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock, not just once, but he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, "Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eye of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I give unto them." If we go all the way back to Exodus chapter number 17, we find the first event with Moses and a rock and water. Exodus 17, we go back there, and God spoke to Moses, and he said, "Moses, there's this rock, and I want you to strike the rock one time. When you strike the rock, water is going to come out." Then this was the early part of the 40 years journey. Now we're on the tail end of the journey in Numbers chapter number 20, and we find God saying to him again, "They're out of water. There's no well here. There's no fresh water. So I'm going to ask you to go and speak to the rock this time. Don't strike it." But when we read through those scriptures, we see that Moses was angry at the people. You ever get angry and upset with people? You do? How dare you? Do you ever get upset because people just don't listen? People don't do what's right. Do you ever feel as though you're running a daycare of people that shouldn't be in daycare? I mean, that's how we do. Do you not get, we get frustrated, you know, don't we? We get frustrated people. And what happened was Moses was very frustrated because Moses had the biggest daycare in the entire world. Nobody can compare to him. He was the main man over this entire congregation, and they were all just a bunch of immature babies. I mean, literally, they all just, they couldn't do what's right. They had more problems of that cycle of doing right, getting comfortable, sinning, whining, confessing, getting, I mean, they were, it was 40 years, it was a 40-year mess is what it was as they wandered through the wilderness. So Moses got aggravated at him. The first time he did what God said, he struck the rock and water came out. The second time, end of the journey, he said, "I want you just to speak to it. Don't hit it." But because Moses was so angry, he hit it not only once, but he hit it twice, taking his anger out on God and the commandment of God. And because of that, he said, "You're not able to go into the land of Canaan." Now, when we get in the New Testament, Corinthians, I believe, where it talks about this rock, Paul says this rock that followed them. I don't want to get into different beliefs and doctrines on this rock, but some people believe that there was an actual rock that followed them wherever they went. I have opinions on that as well, but that's not what we're talking about today. But what he said was this rock that followed them, Paul said they drank from the spiritual rock. He's not talking about the natural rock. He said they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. He said this rock is Christ. So why did he strike the rock the first time? Because Christ was stricken for our sins. But Jesus is not going to die twice. He don't need to be stricken twice. He died once. So the second time, that's the reason Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, and so he didn't. So what I wanted to look at in regard to this, the importance of it is forgiveness and consequences. Have you ever asked God to forgive you of something but still had to suffer? Yes. Numerous times I have. Because there's a difference between forgiveness and consequences. If you sincerely pray and ask God to forgive you of anything, you know what he'll do? What will he do? He'll forgive you. If you sincerely mean it from your heart, then he will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will take the guilt away. Now, we know when Christ died on the cross, he died for all sin. So it's not that he's actually dying again for that sin you've just committed. Now, that sin has already been paid for. We've already been cleansed. Our soul is pure and white before God. We've been cleansed of all of those sins. But when we do allow the flesh to take over and we commit those daily sins that we commit, when we commit those things, it hinders the relationship that we have with God. And what we feel is guilt and remorse and pain and suffering. So when we go to him and we speak to him, what he does is he forgives us and pulls all that guilt away from us. Isn't it beautiful to be forgiven? How does it feel when you've done something dumb? And then God, as we ask him to forgive us, he forgives us and he just removes the guilt. I love that about my relationship with Christ. Well, you see, he'll remove the guilt, but he doesn't remove the consequences of the circumstances that we're in. Yes, he can be highly effective in working within that situation, but understand that if you jump off of a building and you ask God to forgive you halfway down, he'll forgive you, but you're still going to splat more than likely. So even though there's forgiveness to be had, there's still consequences that we're going to have to deal with in life. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat of. Shame on them. So what happened? They clothed themselves. They'd sewed fig leaves together, you know. And God came down, called them out. And what did God do after he spoke with them and they blamed each other for the situation they were in? He killed an animal and clothed them. That's a symbol of being clothed with the righteousness of God. So, in a sense, I believe they actually asked for forgiveness. I believe that they confessed to God. Obviously, they knew what they did, and God obviously knew what they did. So I believe there was a confession there, and that's why he clothed them with that animal. It was a symbol of being clothed in God's righteousness. But guess what? Yeah, they were forgiven. They were cleansed, but they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They couldn't stay there anymore. So why are we harping on forgiveness and consequences? Because I think we need to be reminded that when we sin, we must be willing to live with the consequences of the choices that we make. Well, all you're doing now, preacher, is bringing up all my dirty laundry, and that just makes me feel worse, even though I've been forgiven of. That's not my intent, to make you feel bad about things in your past, as much as for all of us collectively to be very cautious about our future and the choices we make from here on out. If we weigh it out and we consider, is it worth the cost we're going to have to pay to do something? Somebody commits murder and goes to court, goes to trial. Evidence is brought. They're found guilty of the crime. They're sentenced to death. They're praying and seeking God and asking God to forgive them. And God says, yes, I forgive you, but they're still executed. We may cry out and say, but God, they've asked for forgiveness. Why don't you let them out of prison? Why don't you let them free? God is also a just God as well, and that's something we need to understand. So the Moses part of this message is that we need to understand God will forgive you for anything you've done in your life. Wait a minute, what about the unpardonable sin? Well, if you're a Christian, you can't commit that. Because in a nutshell, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is rejection of the message the Holy Spirit delivers, which is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can be forgiven of anything and everything if we take it to God and we're sincere about it. So Moses is out of the picture now, right? He's not going to be the man to bring us in. So what's got to happen now? Well, that's where rising up comes in. In verse number 15 and verse number 16, Moses spake to the Lord and he said, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So what God's saying, or what Moses is saying to God, and God is also supporting that statement, and God put it on his heart, is that God is calling somebody to step up where Moses has stopped, has finished, has failed. He said, I need somebody to stand up and carry on the work that needs to be accomplished here. I'm not saying I want them to be Moses. I'm not saying he's filling Moses' shoes, but I'm saying he is rising up and he's going to be commanded to fulfill his job that I call him to fulfill. And I really believe with all of my heart that we, being in the time that we're in life, being at this stage in our nation, in our world, and all the chaos that's going on around us. It's terrifying to watch the news because we see stuff that just makes us sick to our stomach. We disagree with so many things that are being forced into us. And so we're troubled within our spirit. And you know what we say? We look and we say, man, somebody needs to do something about it. Don't you get mad at the TV? You say, I'm so tired of the way this country's going. I'm so tired of the way the nation's going. I'm tired of the way that people play politics. And I'm so tired of people manipulating other people. And all those things. This is not a political message at all. But we get mad and we think something needs to be done. Well, guess what? We're here. We're breathing. If you're saved, you're saved by the blood of Christ. He is calling you and he's standing you up and he's saying, stand up and make something out of ourselves and stand for the cause of Christ. That's what he's telling us we need to do today. Amen. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. We don't need to be afraid of that. We need to stand and be counted because there Moses is finished. Other generations, other people, their work has been accomplished. We can't pin it on somebody else to do what God's telling us we need to do. What are you trying to do, preacher? Rally a bunch of people to storm to storm Washington? That's not what I'm saying at all. I don't even want to go to Washington. Amen. What I'm saying is that we need to be exactly who Jesus Christ is telling us we need to be, right here in our Jerusalem. We need to be mindful, and we get a description down here of what that person's going to be doing. But the first thing we got to do is answer that call. Appreciate the fact that God loves us enough to say, I want you to stand up and be included in my army. So here's what he's asking, Moses is asking in this verse. The first part of verse number 17, he said, I need somebody, or God, select somebody which will go out before them and which may go in before them. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 2, he said unto them, this is Moses, I'm 120 years old. This day I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Then we look in Joshua chapter number 14 and verse number 11. Joshua was saying, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. So we have that same phrase from both men. Moses saying, I'm not able to go out. I'm not able to come back in. Joshua saying, I'm able to go out and come back in. I'm as strong as I've ever been. What does this going out and coming in actually mean? Well, when you study this phrase out, it basically means your daily responsibilities. Like a king leading his people to war, maybe going out and just working in the garden, working in the fields, whatever it is that you're called to do. It's about completing those daily tasks that we're responsible to complete. So what I take it from on a spiritual standpoint is that we just need to be faithful to God today in what God's called us to do. It is a personal accountability that we have to God to live today the way Christ is telling us we need to live. Because we're responsible to God. We're accountable unto God for how we live our life. You know, I'd love to blame a lot of people for the sins that I've committed in my life when I stand before Him, wouldn't you? I'd love to be able to say, boy, I could have had a lot more jewels in the crown. I could have had a lot more rewards, God, if it hadn't been for so-and-so and so-and-so. I'd really love to blame a lot of people, but we can't do that. We choose how we're going to live our lives. That song the kids sang, I Believe, boy, I love that one. We never get tired of hearing that, do we? So when we think about that, we think about I Believe. Here's the question. If you believe, should we not be doing something about it?
Amen.
If you believe. I know belting it out up here is a witness and a testimony in and of itself. But don't let it stop here by just singing about, I believe. God's telling us, Moses asked, God, get somebody that'll go out and that'll come back in. Get somebody that every day will be faithful to what you call them to do. Moses knew what it meant to live every day trying to honor God. 40 years worth he spent. Joshua came in later, and every battle that he fought, he led those people. And I'm thinking, how faithful was Joshua? Because he prayed daily to make sure he was honoring God in what God called him to do. You may be accountable to a lot of people in your life, but there's one that you're accountable to that's greater than them all. You're accountable to God for the life you and I choose to live. So we've got that accountability to God. The next part of it I think is interesting. In the same verse 17b, he said, also which may lead them out and which may bring them back in. So he's taking it from just somebody that can go out and come in to saying, what about somebody that can lead them out and can bring them back in? So it's not only our responsibility and accountability to God, but now he's saying you and I are responsible and accountable to those around us. Well, it's not my fault if they don't get saved. No, it's not your fault if they don't get saved. But if God's telling us to witness, telling us to love, telling us to give an expression or to share the word of God with them, and we're not doing it, to us that know to do right and do it not, what is it? Sin. He's saying we have not only a responsibility to God and accountability to God or to just our family, we've got a responsibility and accountability to other people that are around us. If God puts somebody in your path, there's a reason why God put them in your path. So again, if we believe, are we doing something about it? If we believe in Jesus Christ, are we making sure that people around us know about Jesus, that they hear about Jesus? I love it as having grandkids and the different stages. You forget how many years ago when your children were little, you learned these similar things. But learning with Harper and at her age, she's 5 now, and I guess a year or so ago, I can't remember how long ago it's been, we've really tried to focus on the importance of prayer and teaching about prayer and praying over our food. And it's getting to the point now to where she'll call me, and she said one day, she said, Pops, I had a bad dream, and when you get to work today, I want you to pray for me. Isn't that cute? You see, if we can instill in other people's lives and hearts things that are important, I know we do a lot of goofy stuff too, you know, along the way, but we've got a job and a responsibility to other people to let them see Jesus in us. And we're accountable to God for that as well. So if we believe, are we living the life that shows them who Jesus Christ is? And the C part to this verse, verse 17, he said that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. I read a troubling verse of scripture in Ezekiel. And as I read it, I thought, oh my goodness, I pray that we're not ever going to be in that situation. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. It's God speaking.
Amen.
He said, I'm looking for somebody to rise up and stand in the gap, make up that hedge between the lost world and me. I'm looking for somebody that says they believe and lives as though they believe. I'm looking for somebody to be that person that will make a difference, not only being accountable to me, but that will be accountable and responsible to those people around them to let them know about Jesus. Then the verse ends and says, but I found none. You know what we've got a problem with doing? Man, I'm guilty of it too. Well, somebody will do it. Somebody else will get it. Somebody else take care of that. God puts something on your heart. Well, I'm sure God already knows all about that, and God will get somebody to step up and make a difference. Yeah, he will. He wants you to do it. But then we say, maybe God will just send somebody else. But you know what we need to start realizing is? When God speaks directly to our heart with leadership, with guidance from the Spirit of God, if he's talking to you and telling you what you and I need to do, we need to remember Moses is dead. This is time for us to rise up. Are we willing to say, I not only believe, but I am doing something about it? And that should be our prayer today. I don't care if you're here today and you're lost or you're saved. We've got reason to be down here. If you're lost today and you don't know Christ as Savior, understand this. Understand this. There is no salvation outside of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You will never see him until you trust and believe in him with all of your heart. It's not a pattern prayer, but it's a choice to say, I believe you, Jesus. So today, if you're under conviction, you're lost, I pray that today you get saved. Rest of us that are Christians, I pray that today will be a day we'll say, you know something? I need to quit living as though Moses is still living down the street and he can just take care of whatever needs taken care of. I need to understand God's calling me to stand up and make a difference in this society and in this world today. Oh, but I'm a little backward preacher. I don't speak a lot. No, but you sure can hit them knees and pray. No, but you sure can send a letter to somebody. You can at least smile at somebody and tell them God loves them. There's a lot of things we can do if we just get out and give it a shot. You know what? Everything has to start with the first time, right? Stand with me as we get ready to pray. Let this message sink in this morning before we start to play the invitation song, before we pray. If you believe in Jesus Christ, what are you doing about it? Let's pray. Father.